This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Famma ba'du, my brothers and sisters, ibadah is not only salah. Ibadah is worship, and the best description or the definition of worship is any action that is done with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with an expectation of reward from Him. So this would include, of course it includes salah, but it includes any form of dhikr, any form of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repeating His, for example, His names and attributes, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. All of these and more, reading of the Quran, paying zakat, fasting, hajj, animal sacrifices, all of these and more are part of ibadah. It also includes emotions like love and trust and fear, all of which have degrees which should only be directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their highest degree. So we love our parents, we love our spouses, we love our children, we love our pets, we love our wealth and so on and so forth. But in the highest degree, a Muslim loves only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. After that, the Muslim loves his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Similarly, as far as trust is concerned, we trust those in this world who are our friends, we trust our parents and our children and spouses and so on. But ultimate trust, which we know as tawakkul, is only and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, fear, we may have apprehensions about the economy, we may have apprehensions in terms of politics and so on and so forth. But fear in terms of something or somebody that can cause me harm is only and only with respect to Allah. So our belief is la nafi wa la darra illallah. There is no one who can help and no one who can cause harm. There is no one who can benefit and no one who can cause harm other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed these emotions and He warned us against excesses in them. So therefore, in terms of ghulu, one of the most common things that is done is love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, is mandated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if somebody does not love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this person cannot call himself a Muslim. For a Muslim to love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of our aqidah, part of our belief. To love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is worship, because we are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if that is taken to an excess where people start now conflating and combining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His Nabi, where they ascribe or try to ascribe to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam qualities and attributes that belong only and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is something that it becomes shirk. It is something that is prohibited. Similarly, of course, I am giving you the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is the most common place where it happens. But people do that. They do that with their shuyukh. They do that with their teachers. They do that with others. So this is something which is to be hugely avoided, and it's a major problem with our aqidah or the aqidah of somebody who does that. Obedience, therefore, is ibadah. And in obedience, again, it doesn't mean that you don't obey anyone. Of course, we are supposed to obey our parents. We are supposed to obey our the wife is supposed to obey the husband. Children are supposed to and expected to obey their parents, and so on. But the point is, and we if you work for somebody, you obey your boss, you obey your team leader, and so forth. But the key things to understand is that obedience in opposition to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haram. Obedience to anybody, absolutely anybody, obedience to anyone in opposition to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haram. This is prohibited, and therefore that obedience, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order exists in a particular situation, then obedience is only and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order and not to anyone or anything else. So this is a very important thing to remember. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. There's a beautiful story here concerning the ayat which I will just recite for you. Where Adi bin Hatim, radiallahu anhu, Adi bin Hatim was the son of Hatim al-Tai. He was the chief of the Tai tribe. And Hatim al-Tai died before Islam. But he was known as one of the most generous people of all time among the Arabs. And his stories are famous, and you know what he did and so on and so forth. I remember my mother telling me Hatim al-Tai's story when I was a little kid. I don't know, maybe I was, you know, less than 10 years old when my mother told me this beautiful story. So Hatim al-Tai's son, Adi bin Hatim, became Muslim. But before he became Muslim, he was a friend of Rasulullah SAW. He used to come and visit him. So one day he came and he was a Christian before he became Muslim. So one day he came and he was wearing a big cross on a chain around his neck. So Rasulullah SAW Rasulullah SAW decided this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, attakhadhu ahbarahum wa ruhbanahum arbabam min dunillah. They, meaning the Jews and the Christians, took their rabbis and their monks, meaning their priests and their monks, to be their lords, to be their Rabb besides Allah, right? Other than Allah and besides Allah. So Adi bin Hatim, at that time he was not a Muslim, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we do not worship our priests and our, we don't worship our priests. I mean, he was not talking about the Jews. He said, we don't worship our priests. Rasulullah said, is it not true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited some things, but your priests permitted it? So Adi bin Hatim said, yes, that is true. Then he said, is it not true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted some things and your priests prohibited it? And Adi bin Hatim said, yes, that also is true. Rasulullah said, that is ibadah, that is worship. To obey somebody in opposition to the order of Allah is worship. For example, in Christianity, in Catholicism, they have prohibited marriage for the Roman Catholic priests, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted marriage for everybody. Whoever is able to be married should be married. But they prohibited marriage for Roman Catholic priests. Now, I'm not talking about what they do and they don't do, that's a different issue, but I'm talking about the issue of the prohibition. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited the eating of pork. The eating of pork was prohibited also for the Jews. The Jews follow it to this day. The Christians were really Jews because Isa alayhi salam was sent to the Bani Israel. He was sent to the Jews to bring them back on the path of the law of Moses alayhi salam, of Musa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam never ate pork in his life. He never permitted the eating of pork. Right? Yet, the Christians now, and now not just now, from the beginning, from the time, the Roman Empire became Christian, they eat pork. And they have made pork legal for themselves. So this kind of changing of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam is shirk. This negates your religion, takes you out of Islam. So in this ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه عما يشركون. They, the Jews and Christians, took their rabbis and their monks to be their lords beside Allah, and they also took as their lord or their idol of worship or their deity or their Rabb, Masiha, son of Maryam, which is Isa bin Maryam. while they were commanded in the Torah and the Injil to worship none but one ilah, Allah. La ilaha illahu, there is no one worthy of worship except him. Subhanahu amma yushrikun, praise and glory to him, and far above is he from having the partners that they associate with him. So obedience is ibadah. Now, and that is why the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that there is no obedience to creatures in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consequently, the gravest and the worst sin is that of worshipping others other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we said, worship is to bow and prostrate. Worship is to make dua and ask favors from, and worship is to obey in opposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Fatiha, which every Muslim is required to recite in his salah at least 17 times every day, and we are talking only about the first salawat, and Surah Al-Fatiha is a rukun, it's a pillar of the salah. If someone does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha in any rakat of any kind of salah, whether it is fard, sunnah, witr, whether it is nafil, tahajjud, whatever, if a person does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha and complete Surah Al-Fatiha, first ayat is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, last ayat is Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Walad Dallin. If a person does not recite the complete Surah Al-Fatiha in every salah, in every rakat of every salah, that salah is invalid. The person has to repeat that salah. That is how important it is. And in that surah, what do we say? Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You alone we worship and you alone we seek help from. So if you are saying that 17 times a day at least, and we do it more because we pray sunnah and all that, if you are doing that 17 times a day in your salah, you are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah said, when you stand in salah, Allah is in front of you. And when we are doing that, and we say, O Allah, only you I worship, only you I seek help from, and then when we finish our salah, we worship and join in worship others with Allah, and we seek help from this grave and this dead man and that woman, this is open shirk, this is haram, and this takes us out of Islam. So please be very, very careful with this. Rasulullah confirmed the concept of unity of worship by saying, if you ask in salah, ask only Allah. And if you seek help, seek it only from Allah, not through anyone else, alive or dead. Now, this is the end of Tawheedul Uluhiyya, which is the Tawheed of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to worship Him and not to worship anyone and anything other than Him, because on the day of judgment we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the first question that we will be asked in our grave itself, even before we reach the day of judgment, the first question of our own personal day of judgment is, Man Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? Who is your Rabb? And the one who answers that question correctly, Rabbi Allah, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among them, this person is successful. The one who got stuck, the one who could not answer that question, has failed. And this failure and this success both are eternal. They are forever. This is not a temporary thing. A person cannot fail in that test and then ask to be retested or to get another chance. All the chances in the world, not one chance but many chances we get right here. If we don't take them, then we have signed and sealed our own fate. We come now to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, the maintaining of the unity, of the sovereignty, of the lordship, of the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is based on the fundamental concept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything when there was nothing. He sustains it, He maintains it, and He has no need from His creation, and He will end it when He wishes to do so. He is the sole Rabb, He is the only Rabb of the universe and its inhabitants without any challenge to His sovereignty. Now, this is who we worship. So feel this when you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The word Rabb is a beautiful word which means the one who takes something incomplete stage by stage to a stage of perfection. Let me repeat that. The Rabb is someone who takes something incomplete stage by stage to a state of perfection. Shay naqis ko batadreej kamal ke darje tak pahunchane wale ka naam Rabb hai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of all His creation. Not just human beings. Every single thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Right now we are getting pictures from the James Webb telescope, which takes infrared images of parts of the universe which were until now, despite the Hubble telescope and so on, were invisible. We are seeing pictures of those things and it's completely mind-boggling. Really, we cannot even understand. It looks like a lot of it looks like abstract art. But there's one particular picture that I saw which is, it's a very, very dark, for want of a better word, sky, but that space. And it has dots, it has shining dots in it. Some of those dots are emanating rays, and those are the stars. Our sun is a star, so they are stars. But all the other dots are just light, dots of light. And the caption of the picture said, every single dot that is not letting off rays is a galaxy. Not a star. It's not a solar system. It's a galaxy. What is a galaxy? Our Earth is a part of the solar system around our star called the Sun. This solar system is in the galaxy called the Milky Way. And the Milky Way, just one galaxy, has billions of stars like our sun. Some have solar systems, some don't. There are billions of galaxies in the visible universe which we can see with an ordinary telescope. Now, this is far much further than that. And he says every single dot is a galaxy. Now, do we know how much what Allah has created? We don't. We only know this much. But Allah is Rabb of what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabb of everything which He created, of which this is a small part. This is a minuscule part. Just to sit and reflect and think and then put yourself in that position of the Abd of Allah, of the slave of Allah, of someone who knows Allah because Allah told him who He is, who believes that word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who thrills and marvels at why Allah did this fabulous and most merciful thing by telling us who He is. So we sit there and we say, Subhanallah, this is my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. And I worship Him. And I worship only Him and nobody else. My brothers and sisters, in Arabic the word used to describe this creator, sustainer quality is rububiyat, rububiyya, which is derived from the root word called Rabb. According to this category, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only real power in existence, It is He who gave all things the power to move and to change. And so nothing happens in creation except that which He allows to happen. And He provides everything we need. To give you an example, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above and beyond any example that we can give, Ta'ala Allahu al-amthal. To give an example, think about a substation, a power station, which is generating electricity. And this electricity comes into a palace. Right? Take the Haram for example, the Masjid al-Haram. It has generating sets. It has turbine, gas turbine generators, which generate the electricity that is required for the Haram. So imagine this one gas turbine generator is powering the electricity in the Haram. Now in the Haram, what are the manifestations of the electricity that we see? We see electric lighting, we see fans, we see air conditioning, we see blowers, we see humidifiers, we see escalators, right? We see the fabulous audio system, and Allah knows what else. Each one is different. Each one does something which is different. What the audio system does, the chandeliers don't do. What the air conditioning system does, the water cooling system of Zamzam does not do. Each one does something which is different. But they all draw source, the source of all of that is that gas turbine. The source of the power is one. Similarly, in this universe, as I'm talking to you, I don't know if the mic is recording it or not, but you can hear the chirping of birds, cheek, 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 cheek. Can you hear it? Now that is two sparrow chicks, which are in a nest, which is right here next to me. I can see it in my, on the side. There are two sparrow chicks which are being fed by their mother and father. The whole day the parents are behind those chicks and they are feeding them. And as soon as the parents leave, they start, you know, yelling for them. Two little beaks. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of those chicks. Allah is the creator of their parents. And Allah is the one who put it in the hearts of those parents to take care of those chicks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who made me a means of getting food to the parents so that the chicks can be fed. This is the sifat of rububiyyah, the sifat of the quality of taking care of His creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore provides everything that we need. When we talk about provision or risk, it is not only food. The most commonly understood thing is food. So, and in the human context, we think it is your job and, you know, your salary you get or your income. But risk is not only that. Risk is risk also. But risk is every single need that we have. Your spouse is risk. Your children are risk. The air we breathe is risk. Our health is risk. Our knowledge is risk. Every conceivable thing that is needed for a creature to live, to survive, to thrive, to grow is risk. And therefore, knowledge is risk, and therefore hidayah is risk. Guidance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is risk. What is happening right now is I am the means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you your risk, which is guidance towards Him. And in His beautiful way, this risk is giving to me and you together at the same time. It's like sitting and eating from one big plate. The host is also eating, the guests are also eating, and they are all eating the food which has been supplied and which is on this plate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is therefore Rabbul Alameen. He is the creator of everything and He created it without anyone's help. This is another one of the spins that Shaitan puts, and there are people, there are philosophers, including Muslim philosophers, who said that when there was nothing, how did Allah create everything, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah, created things from Himself. He became the material of the universe, which is rubbish, which is complete nonsense. It goes against what the Quran says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Laysa kamithlihi shayun. Bahuwa samiul basir. He said, He is unlike anything in creation. Unlike means what? A chair is unlike a table. The two are different. But will you say it is completely unlike the table? It is not, because the chair is made of wood, the table is also made of wood. So it has, there is a likeness, there is something which is comparable between the two. When Allah is saying unlike, it means there is absolutely nothing in any aspect, in any creature, that is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing at all. Any creature. Starting from the best of them, which is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the least of them, whoever that is, or wherever that is. All of them are creatures. And Allah is the creator. There is no similarity of any kind, in any aspect, in any way, between the creator and the creature. Irrespective of who the creature is. It is very important to understand this aspect. Because especially with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this ghulu, this exaggeration praising him and in expressing love for him, we exceed the boundaries that are permissible. Islam is the meaning, the name of Islam, the meaning of Islam is boundaries. We are free to do whatever we like, we are free to enjoy life, we are free to have a good time, we are free to be successful within the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed. And these boundaries are for our own benefit, personal benefit and societal benefit. So Allah created everything without the help of anyone, because Allah does not need the help of anyone. Nobody created Allah. Allah always was. Huwa al-awwal wal-akhir wal-zahir wal-batin. He is the first. And He was before anything else came. He is the one who lives. He will be the last. And He is the last. After Him, there is nothing. Huwa al-awwal laysa qablaka shay. Huwa al-akhir laysa ba'daka shay. He is first and there is nothing before Him. He is last and there is nothing after Him. He is the one who lives and will not, and who will never die. Huwa al-hayyu alladhi la yamut. He created death and will end death on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed before the creation and will exist after the creation in a way that suits His majesty and grace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates and manages and develops and destroys and does whatever He wishes, as He wishes. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the return of everything and everyone, whether or not they believe it, whether or not they accept it. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay, wa huwa ala kulli shayin wakil. Allah said in Surah Zumar, Allah created all things, and He is the one, the source of all we need, on which all things depend. Allah created all things, and He is the one on which everything depends. Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'malun. And Allah created you and whatever you do. So you and your actions are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah As-Saffat, Allah is the creation. Allahu khaliqu kulli ashiya wal ahwal. Allah is the creator of all things and all conditions. Rasulullah said, I want to end with this. He said, beware. He said, be aware that if all of mankind got together in order to do something to help you, they would only be able to do something for you which Allah has already written for you. And likewise, if the whole of mankind from the first one to the last one, gathered together to harm you, they would only be able to do something to harm you, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written to happen to you. And that is why we say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no change, there is no transformation, nothing can happen without the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalaluhu, inshallah. We will look at Tawheed Asma wa Sifat in our next class, inshallah. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.